Jesus called us to be the salt and light of the world. But before we can be light, we must first be salt. That means that we are to have influence. It is of little value to have the truth of God's Word and to know the way of salvation if we cannot influence others so that they might see the light of the gospel. So how do we become a positive influence for Christ with other people? And how can we influence others with the gospel? It begins with an understanding of what the Bible teaches concerning being a friend to others. The Proverbs, chapter 18 and verse 24, has this insightful way of saying this subject. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Do you have a friend that's been your friend all of your life? You look back and you think about what you would be if it weren't for that friend. Everybody needs friends. How many good friends do you have, people often ask? And rarely does anybody have more than one or two close friends all of their lives. Jesus says that, like on the road to Jericho, that there's something between friends. Why? Because you know each other so well that you catch a glimpse of the nature of the Godhead. That God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are so close that they always know what the other is thinking. Of course, the greatest manifestation of that proximity is marriage, because we have this intimacy, this way of knowing, and we live with each other so long that we often begin to finish the other's sentences, or we know what they're going to say even before they say it. And God is teaching us something about what it means to be close to someone else. We want friends. But what happens, especially in church, is that we gain a certain amount of security in limiting the number of friends that we allow to become a part of our circle. We develop a small circle of friends. Others would refer to this as a clique. Unfortunately, they would be right many times. With our circle of friends, we tend to build walls to keep others out rather than bridges to allow others in. I think this is what Jesus is talking about when He's preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and He says things like, we should be the salt of the earth and the light to the world. Because if we're going to be a positive influence for Christ and reach others with the light of the gospel, we need to build bridges to develop new friendships. It's often commented that friendship evangelism is the most effective and is the most powerful. And we're going to learn a lot about that, because ultimately, to be successful in the preaching of the gospel, it's going to come by clinging to other people. And I know that's going to make us grow. It is going to cramp our style. But to be successful, I know we're going to have to change to become more outwardly focused rather than inwardly. In the Proverbs, God gives us some principles that will guide us in accomplishing this task. The first one is, choosing sides is a poor way to cultivate friends. Chapter 18 and verse 18. Casting a lot settles disputes and keeps strong opponents apart. There are always those who want us to choose sides, especially if you choose their side. This becomes their way of having and keeping friends. If we go this route, we will find that we must choose and choose again. But the process, face it, is never ending. They use their little circle as a means to control or manipulate others. For instance, you can only be my friend if... And they play games. And if you don't choose to go along with them, they'll pick up their toys and they'll go home and play with somebody else. These type of people use their friendships to get you to make choices against others in order to prove your allegiance to them. The writer warns us to be very astute, not to fall in this trap, because there will be no way to escape without alienating other people. there are times when we must choose. And the writer of Proverbs tells us that the principles that come from God, that become a part of us, as we almost instinctively, because we have the Spirit of God, get where we're able to know when someone is manipulating us to get their way. And it's often hard, because sometimes we have a blind spot and we love them so much that we simply don't see it. But little by little, hopefully, we can become better at isolating and analyzing those situations. Our choices, if I might be just a little bit redundant, need to be based upon God's principles, not personal manipulation. Because biblical principles are never based upon personalities. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I know as soon as I say that, every single one of us have echoing in our minds what happened on the road to Jericho. Because the man who was trying to justify himself would ask the question, "Well, Master, who is our brother?" And the answer to the question is, anybody who needs your help. That becomes your brother. I had a conversation with my oldest boy recently. We were discussing this on a trip that we were on last week. We were talking about the importance of our attendance at worship services and Bible classes, because we encourage others by our attendance, but we also learn and we teach others by what we say in our classes. And we saw somebody on the side of the road that was getting help. And I asked Caleb, how could we best show that we're a friend to someone else? We're on our way to church, and we're going to be late if we stop, but there's somebody on the side of the road who has no one to help him. What is the best way to show our Christianity? What did he say? The best way to stop and help. And I said, you have fulfilled the law. Because in fulfilling the law, you love others the way you love yourself. That's what it means to be a true friend. And that's what it means to incarnate missionally God's principles. The second principle is this. The Lord is our source for building present friendships and for reaching new friends. That is, we find it in two parts. We want to build the friendships that we already have, but we also want to reach out to new friends. God desires that we be a friend to others. And the only way that we can really grasp that this is possible is to realize that God is our strength and He is our supply. That no matter what, we can never change ourselves. Only God can enable us and bring about the necessary changes in our lives if we will let Him. And the beginning of change comes when I realize that I need to change. Remember the passage in 2 Corinthians 5:17 where Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. How many times have we thought about this? I think about what I want to be. I think about who I would like to be. And yet, I seem to hold on to the past and always seem to identify myself with that old guy over there. Not realizing that God has given me something new. Something that can be powerful. Something that God wills to change. And it goes back again to that very simple statement. The beginning of change comes when I realize that I need to change. Oh, don't get me started. Oh, I'm not going to get you started. Because once we start talking about how much other people need to change, it never has anything to do with us. And we never get around to seeing that if we can change, then we've won the battle. Because when you get right down to it, to the nitty-gritty, it's about you changing, becoming more like Jesus, me and my own little life becoming more like Jesus. Because as we all become more like Jesus, then the problems take care of themselves. But typically, what I want to do is I want to change you so that I don't have to change who I am. So I manipulate, I scheme, I do what I can to keep myself from ever having to recognize that I have issues and I have problems. I always want to place all the guilt on you, all the blame on you, so that it never reflects on me and who I am as a person. This is not the way God talks about influencing others for the purpose of salvation. God says that since we are a new creation, and if we were to pause just for a moment and think about that, I think it would blow us away every time we think about it. That we're God's workmanship. God is saving us as we work our salvation out with fear and trembling before the throne of the Almighty. We serve Him. He is our God. That God became flesh and walked among us. John said, we watched Him and we touched Him. That's my Jesus. He's the one that I serve, that I want to be an influence for, that I want others to see so desperately in me. But my problem is I keep looking at myself as an old man. And the power of that old man becomes more than I can handle because I haven't gotten to the point where I can see that that man has been crucified when I was baptized. And now I have this incredible chance of becoming what God wants me to be. That's amazing. If I were to sit and think about what I would like to be, that would be nothing in comparison to what God has in mind for me in my life. Nothing. Oh, that God would open my eyes and give me wisdom and restore my sight. Oh, I wish He would stoop down in the dirt and spit in it and make some clay and rub it on my eyes. Oh, I wish that I could see. You see, God's life from Scripture on friendships and friends is a significant point in the Proverbs. Let me give you some very simple guidelines that you can take home with you and you could put into practice. First, make sure of your friends and covet their friendship. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 3. Then do this, my son, to free yourself, since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands. Go and humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbor. What is the biggest problem in building and maintaining friendships? It's easy. Our selfish pride. Humility acknowledges that we need friends, and there is an emptiness in our lives without them. Second, we need to understand that a friend's love is a very real strength in our hour of adversity. Chapter 17 and verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That's really an insightful proverb. God never intended for us to have to go it alone. We need each other, and others need us. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. I believe that Martha and Mary felt much better about their brother's death with Jesus standing with them. As difficult as it was, even before they grasped that He was the resurrection and the life, they must have had a great deal of consolation, simply because Jesus was standing at their side. Third, sacrifices are willingly made by friends for their friends. The Lord is our supreme illustration of this truth. John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that He laid down His life for His friends. That was the ultimate sacrifice for His friends. But there are many sacrifices made in a relationship. That is the true nature of friendship. It isn't self-centered, but always looks to others. Someone has said that friendship doubles our joy and divides our grief. If one is unwilling to do for another, then they are unwilling to be a friend. I remember the parable that Jesus speaks of in the Gospels. When real late at night, a friend goes to another friend's house and begins to knock on the door. But the person inside the house doesn't want to get up because he's in bed and his children are in bed as well. And he'll wake everybody up. And you know how it is to get kids asleep again. But because the friend continues to knock, finally the friend gets up, lets him in, and helps take care of his needs. If one is unwilling to do for another, then they are unwilling to be a friend. That is an insightful comment that we learn from the Proverbs. Let's ask a few questions. How can we increase our friendliness? Or, how can we be more willing to be friends? First, and this is a hard one, we have to decide in our hearts that we will love people. Man, that's hard. You notice that I use the word love. We decide deep inside of us that we're going to love people. That's hard. Loving like Jesus says is hard. Have you ever tried to love people out of making decisions? How much more possible is it to love someone out of doing something than it is to complain and bicker and gripe as they're walking out the door? Oh, it's so easy to complain, to nag. Oh, but it's hard to put your pride down and to love, even though you know the person that you're talking to doesn't deserve the love that you're showing. And that's Jesus. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Second suggestion that's also hard is that we must smile when we look at people and continue smiling. Often we betray our Savior because our emotions get the best of us. We don't say anything, but the expression on our faces shows exactly what we think and how we feel. We have to be gracious and happy to see a familiar face. Another suggestion is to talk pleasantly, not dominating the conversation. I often have seen in my experience that the best way to get to know somebody is not talk about yourself, but talk about what is important to them. You'll find that you can make a friend. Next, avoid the inclination to think that we are always right. In other words, don't be preachy. Many times, don't offer information unless they ask you. But God will provide an opportunity. And when He does, you'll be ready to jump in there. And you give them a word from God. Next, do for others without expecting them to return the favor. Oh, that's a big one. Like when Jesus says, if you loan money to somebody, well, don't loan it to them if you're expecting it back. Otherwise, it's only going to make you enemies. Do for others without expecting them to return the favor. And last, pray that God would make us friendly. Chapter 18, verse 24, our keynote verse from the Proverbs. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Do we want to influence people with the message of Christ? If we want to, then we have to be willing to be a true friend. What is the condition of our present friendships? Are we actively looking to build new bridges that God might use us? James writes in verse 17 of chapter 4, "Anyone then who knows the good that he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins." If you're here and you have not been the type of friend that you would like to be, or if you have not loved people the way you ought to love, and you would like to make something known so that we can pray for you, because if we confess our sins one to another, God is just and He will forgive us because of Jesus' sacrifice on Calvary and the fact that He is resurrected from the dead. Please, if we can help you, come right now as we all stand and sing.